Well, good morning. It's certainly good to see each and every one. Appreciate very much the singing this morning and the good prayer and the comments before the Lord's Supper this morning. Certainly good to have this opportunity to speak this morning. If you're visiting with us and expecting to see Jeff up here, you're probably saying, boy, has Jeff aged. He looks at least 20 years older than last time I saw him. Well, I'm not Jeff. Jeff is up in Tennessee, the great state of Tennessee, in a weekend meeting, and I get the privilege this morning of speaking. I haven't preached in 2 years, so I'm not really, well, I'm kind of rusty, you know, but nonetheless, I'm looking forward to it. I tell people, last time I preached was in March 2020. Remember that? And after I preached, they shut down the whole country. So, I don't know what would happen this morning. Anyhow, it's a great privilege to proclaim God's word. Our society is becoming brainwashed. Brainwashed in believing that the God of the Bible doesn't exist. There's no real standard of morality. And we can pretty well do as we please. Either society determines morality, or even worse, we determine our own morality. What is right and what is wrong as far as the matter of morals? It's coming from almost every information piece in our life. Coming from the news media, it's coming from movies and TV, and especially public schools and the institutes of higher learning, this idea that little by little, they're taking away our belief in God and our belief in this one standard of morality. We've got to be very careful, because if we're not careful, what the world does will rub off on us. We'll begin to think, well, there's no standard of morality, or I can choose and say, well, I don't think this is right, or I don't think this is wrong. And we reach a point we become our own God. Good people, that is very destructive to us. This morning I want to talk to you about how to choose right from wrong. Very simple lesson, and hopefully all of us will pay special attention. If you disagree with what I say, send me an email and tell me how you object or what you object to, or talk to me privately. I'd be very, very happy to talk to you about that. All right, so let's continue here. All right, determining right from wrong. If I get the remote all straightened out here. Determining right from wrong. There's two ways to determine right from wrong. First of all, by commandment. This is the easy thing. This is objective truth. We either accept it or we reject it. And by principles. That's where we have to take certain principles and apply them to certain aspects of our life, aspects of morality. We'll talk about both of those this morning. Now, the Bible talks about the works of the flesh. In Galatians 5 and verses 19 through 22, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Now, uncleanness here is not boys washing behind their ears. He's not talking about that uncleanness, but he's talking about in a spiritual sense, perhaps, in a derogatory sense, connecting with adultery, fornication, and so forth, idolatry and sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, and drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, so watch it, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Again, this is objective truth. We can't say, well, I don't see it like you say it. No, no, it's objective truth. We either accept it or we reject it. We can't go to, let's just pick out one, this matter of hatred, and say, well, I hate somebody simply because of what they've done to me, and I think that's justified or right. No, it simply is wrong. Also, the Bible talks about some social sins in Ephesians 4, verses 25 through 31. Therefore, put away lying. You've been watching the political ads recently. I tell you, if those people, if they lie as much after they get into office as much as they are lying now, we are in deep trouble. It is just simply ridiculous what they're putting us through until the election time. Stealing, let him that stole steal no more or no longer, but rather let him labor. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth. Boys and girls in school, I know you hear ugly words all the time. Don't get into that habit. Don't let any corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Let but all bitterness and so forth. Then there's some ugly sins that I think of. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Again, you're guilty of those sins. You must receive forgiveness if you're going to go to heaven. It's black and white. We just simply have to do that. But now here's a good part of all of this. Listen to what he says further. And such were some of you. This is the way you used to live. You used to be adulterers. You used to be covetous. You used to be drunkards and so forth. And such were some of you. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of our Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. And so we determine right from wrong, first of all, by commandment, the objective truth. We simply accept it or we reject it, one or the other. Now, we're the people of God, and consequently, we simply accept these truths, and we stay away, we avoid those things. And if we do fall into some of these traps, we ask God to forgive us, and we move on. But again, one way to determine right from wrong. Now, here's the sticky part of our lesson. That is by principles. Not everything that is wrong is specifically identified in the Bible. For example, what if God had to put down all the drugs that people abuse in our society today? Saw in the news where 70, 80 people are dying of fentanyl. Now, what on earth would a sane human being take fentanyl and risk dying? And yet, this is what is taking place in our society. And we've got to be very careful we don't fall into the very same thing. But how big would the Bible be? How big would the Bible be if God would have to include every illegal drug in the Bible? It would be huge. So not everything that is specifically condemned in the Bible is wrong. Let's talk about some of the principles. The first principle is, will it destroy my body? Now, we have a responsibility to not to harm our body in some way. 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, verse 19. Here he says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. We have to take care of our bodies. We don't abuse our bodies in some way. This is one of the principles that we have to abide by. What about smoking? When I first started preaching, almost everybody smoked. Remember those times where between Bible study and worship, you go out in front of the building and it looked like the building was on fire because there's so many people smoking out there. And you talk to people about smoking, they say, well, I don't see anything wrong with that. I might walk out and get run over by a truck. Some of you former smokers, you remember making that excuse? We argue, well, we're not really sure that it's harmful to our body. Well, we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is. Smoking is very difficult to quit. They say the addiction to nicotine is as strong or stronger than cocaine. That's how difficult it is. But if you are following these principles, you don't destroy your body. It says, whatever it takes, you quit smoking, no question about it. Overindulging. Now, you might say, you're kind of a hypocrite. You stand up there, you're at least 40 pounds overweight and so forth. Well, preachers preach to themselves just like to anybody else. Yeah, I know I need to lose some weight. You know, not everybody who's heavy is necessarily one who overindulges. I've seen people that are thin, they eat like hogs, and they are still thin. I've seen other people who are heavy, and they watch what they eat, and they just seem to expand all the time. So we have to be very careful in judging. But we have to ask ourselves, are we destroying our body by overindulging? If so, we back off and say, look, whatever it takes, I will stop doing that. Does it cultivate wrong fleshly desires? Let me talk about one of the big problems that we have, especially among young men. But let's get the scripture first of all. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, the principle is, does it cultivate, does it produce evil desires? Now, God has placed in our bodies certain desires that are wholesome and right, nothing at all wrong with them, but the Bible teaches we have to control these desires. And so what we're doing, what we're watching, what we're seeing, what we're talking about, if it's producing these wrong fleshly desires, we've got to back off. We've got to say, look, I'm going to stop that. I repent of that. Now, what about porn? That is a big problem. In Louisville, Texas, where we were 32 years, had a big problem, especially among young men. So we had a special class. Now, can you imagine, you know, the Church of our Lord having a special class on this? But it was such a problem. It's a tremendous problem among young men, and I'm told among some women, for as much as along with men. Took a speech class several years ago, and the professor was a former preacher, and we got to know one another. And so we were standing in the back just talking, and a big part of the grade in the speech class was the final speech that you gave. So one of the classmates came up, and he told the professor, I know what I'm going to talk about at our last speech. I'm going to talk about legalizing prostitution. And the professor, he just snapped back. He says, who for? Your mother? Your sister? Your girlfriend? Your wife? We didn't have to hear that speech on legalizing prostitution. When you think about porn, you know, people that participate in this, they are somebody's mother, sister, maybe wife or husband, maybe son or daughter. They are human beings. If you watch this stuff, you're contributing to their sin and you're sinning, let's get it straight, and you're sinning yourself. It's a tremendous problem. You know, it used to be you'd go down to some sleazy place and you would buy a book or something along that line, but now all you have to do is just a few clicks on the internet and you're there. Now, boys, I know you're curious, but boys, don't get started in this. It's going to produce the wrong attitude towards sexuality. Now, God has given us sexuality, the physical side of marriage, to produce intimacy, closeness, not to as an athletic exercise. If you watch porn, you're going to get the wrong attitude. Now, I know you're curious, but don't start. I can remember when I was in about the fourth grade, I didn't know hardly anything. But one of the classmates said, oh, here, I want to show you a couple pictures. He showed me a couple pictures, pornography. I was shocked. People do this sort of thing. But you know, it's been a long time ago, and I could still that. Boys, I appeal to you, don't get started. If you are starting to say, I am not going to do that anymore, like if I have to throw the computer out the window, I'll do it. But I'm not going to do that anymore. Well, what does the Bible say? Well, Jesus says that whoever looks upon a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Now, a question comes up on occasion, is this saying physical? If you look upon a woman, you have committed physical adultery? We were in Louisville, a church not too far from us, a woman up there, sister up there, she divorced her husband, married another upon this ground. My husband committed adultery, and he watched porn, and so I have a legal right to remarry. That's simply not so. That's simply not so. Now compare this with 1 John, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. He said, whoever hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Same phraseology, right? Is this physical? What if I go down to the Athens Police Department and say, I'm here to report a murder? Murder, that'd get their attention, would it not? What are you talking about? Who got murdered? Me. There's a sister at church, she just hates me. I don't know why, but she hates me. I want her arrested and I want her charged for murder. Well, they'd call the paddy wagon and they would take me off and check me out mentally. Now, we can see that. Parallel passage, not really parable, but same type of phraseology. We can see that, and yet sometimes we can't see it in regards to these other things. Now, what's he saying here? In Matthew 15 and verse 9, he's saying this. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, and blasphemies. He says it all begins in the heart. It may be fornication, it may be adultery, it may be thefts, it may be false witnesses. It all begins within the heart. And Jesus says you must control your heart. When evil thoughts pop in your mind, you pop them out. Now, does that make an evil person when evil thoughts pop in your mind? Of course not. We're human beings. But we get rid of them. If we dwell upon these things, Jesus is saying that it's going to produce these things. Oh, that good-looking girl at school, you know, we fantasize about her, and if we get the opportunity, we would engage in this. That's what he's saying. So we get rid of those thoughts. Same with thievery, same with all of these things. That's what he's saying. We've got to control our minds. If we don't, it's going to lead us into these physical sins. Now, the thoughts are wrong. If we dwell upon them, they're sinful. Let's make sure we're plain on this, as well as the physical. But not if we get rid of them. Not if we pop them out of our mind. Just as fast as they enter in. Well, what about some of the other things, gambling? Big push in the state of Alabama to get gambling. And they dress it up, it's going to produce a lot of money for education. Well, a lot of things we could say, bank robbery, just legalize that. That'd produce a lot of money for education. Somebody says, well, that's ridiculous. What's ridiculous, the way that they're phrasing this matter of gambling it's the hook out there, that we bite on that is going to lower our taxes due to this matter of education. But gambling is this matter of covetousness, getting something that you really don't work for, that you don't invest in, and that you receive dividends from your investment, like the stock market is not the stock market. You can play it like the stock market, but it's not that at all. Somebody said, well, I just gamble and I go there just for fun. Now, would you do that if it didn't have some chance of winning more than what you put in. Would you do that? You have to answer that question. What about dancing? Now, I don't keep up with all the new dancings. Every now and then you're switching channels and you see some gyrations which leave almost nothing to question. So can you dance? Do people still dance close to one another? I don't know. But can you dance like that, or can you sit and watch all these gyrations and keep your mind pure and clean? You have to answer that as we decide these things by principles. Another principle is, will it destroy my example? Let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word and conduct and love and spirit and faith and purity. And we have an example. I think Mark talked about the example last Wednesday evening. We have an example. It can be good. It can be bad. And we've got to be very careful that we set the right example to lead people to Christ and not become a hindering block to them. What about social drinking? Now, I think social drinking is condemned, 1 Peter 4, verse 3, by command. But I won't argue that this morning. We're just talking about principles. Now, principles, social drinking. Now, what do you think about that? Is it going to harm your example? You see all the three elders down at some local bar, and they're drinking, and they're getting happy with their drinking and so forth. Would it hurt their example? It would with me. It would with me. Now, you have to answer that. If you're one who engages in social drinking, what about illegal drugs? Well, why people destroy their lives with illegal drugs? But this is very commonplace. I can remember a few years ago, one fellow said we would go on parties on Saturday night and we would shoot up heroin. You know, just recreational. I mean, we're not going to get hooked on heroin. I mean, it gives you such a thrill that the first time that you can imagine what enjoyment you get out of that. Well, you know the story. He got hooked, destroyed his marriage. She was doing it too, but she said, I'm not doing this anymore. And lo and behold, I don't know, last time I saw him, he was still taking methadone, still was straight. But what about my example? We have to answer that question. Remember, we have to set the right example because we're the soul of the earth, the light of the world, and we're to let our light shine. Good people, we can't do that if we're engaging some of these questionable practices. Would it lead others into sin? In Romans 14, he says, therefore, let us not judge one another anymore, but rather resolve this, not to put a stumbling block or a cause to fall in our brother's way. We've got a responsibility to one another. The question is, what about immodest dress? Now, we got a lot of very pretty young ladies here. And I know they have a battle with trying to dress right. Oldest daughter was one that hardly ever did anything. And if she wouldn't do anything, if I'd look at her crossways, tear her up altogether. We had virtually no problems with her in our life. Now, I'm not talking about the middle son now. We won't talk about him at all this morning. But the oldest daughter, about the only battle we had with her was dress. If you're a parent of junior middle school or high school, you know you've got a problem with dress. Let me tell you, young ladies, the most beautiful thing in this world is a lady. A lady is one who dresses appropriately, one who holds their tongue, one who says herself a Christian. You can't find anything any more beautiful than a young lady, or an older lady for that matter, who is like that. Now, I know it's a battle, it is a struggle not to want to dress like everybody else. But when you named the name of Christ, you committed yourself to live according to his will. If there's some difficulty as far as wanting to dress like everybody else, you choose the side of the Lord, not the side of society. You made that decision. You have to live up to it altogether. But it caused us to violate our conscience. Romans 14. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats. Now, we don't have time to go into the context there, but you remember the context. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Now, I know brethren use this, you know, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the way. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about don't violate your conscience. Something may be right in itself, but we dare not violate our conscience and go ahead and do it if we think that it's wrong. We study it out, first of all, before we engage in that. Is it addictive? We've got to be very careful. Paul said, I'll not be under the power, brought under the power of anything. What about money? Well, that's the American way, isn't it? Money, things. We want more and more and more. That could be addictive. Now, I like things like anybody else. You know, I like money like everybody else. Well, the problems of getting old and retiring, how to live your money, that's a big problem among, especially with inflation as it is today, a big problem among retirees. Money, yeah, we care a lot about money, but it dare not become addictive. I like things. I like electronic things, all that stuff. But we dare not allow them to become addictive. What alcohol and drugs and so forth and pornography, as we talked about, will it hurt others? You know, we've heard that sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will not harm us. Brent, he brought that up in the one of the gospel meetings. I think Jeff brought this up not too long ago. And I think what Brother Hunter said, he says, that's a lie. That's simply not so. That puts it where it belongs. That's just simply a lie. You know, what about gossip and what about evil surmising? You know, we are very prone. If somebody says, well, I saw such and such come out of a place where you buy liquor. And we say, well, I always knew it. He had a problem along with that line. You know, evil surmise. No, we don't do that. We simply say, well, he went in there for a right person. We lived in the Dallas area, and we lived in Louisville. There's one place we would get the special kind of sausage. Now, you can get anywhere now, but then only one place we could get sausage, and that's the same place where they sold liquor. I wasn't too crazy about it. I don't think I violated my conscience, but I wasn't too crazy about it, but I love that sausage, and so I'd go in. What if somebody saw me coming out of that liquor store with my sausage? Evil surmising. We've got to be very, very careful. What Jesus did, he is our example in all things. Several principles that ought to guide us. Learned this in our class this morning. We're to glorify God. We're to love others. We're to have developed this sense of ought. Oh, Harry Pickup Jr., he always emphasized, a sense of ought. Know what to do and simply do it. We ought to do it, and so we do it. We live on a higher plane. We're Christians. That doesn't make us arrogant. It makes us understand what we're. And the bottom line is always that we do what is right. That's the bottom line. We may make a mistake, but we do what is right. And we correct it. It's between us and God. We correct it with God. If it's between us and someone else, we correct it with them. Now, why different answers? Now, I'm hurrying up because that old clock back there is running away. We're in different stages of growth. A good friend of ours was from Italy, and they drank wine with all their meals. He had it in their refrigerator. Now, he could have said, well, this is just my custom. I don't get drunk, and no one sees me except my wife and kids, and I drink this wine, no problem at all. But he didn't want to take any chances. He finally took the wine and got rid of the wine from the refrigerator. But if you went to him when he first became a Christian and asked him or told him, you've got to get rid of that wine, there'd been a problem there. You would have discouraged him. Sometimes it just takes a while to grow and to learn that some of these things are right and some of these things are wrong. And it doesn't come automatically. Depends on how we were raised and the various thoughts and so forth. But we grow, and as we grow, we get rid of the things that are wrong. Someone live on the edge, like the prodigal son. All right, now here's the important part of the lesson. All of it's important, but this is especially important. How that we can overcome. First of all, we need to pray. Matthew 6 and verse 13, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and glory forever. Now, what he's saying is, don't allow me to get into situations where I will be overcome. Several years ago, I had two fellows come forward, two of them now, confessing adultery. Two people in one service. And one fellow said, I was down at this bar. You were where? But I was down at this bar, and this woman just came on to me, and I couldn't help myself. I wound up in this adultery situation. You don't get into situations where you're going to be overcome. You're not going to get into situations where there's a possibility of your being overcome. And kids, let me emphasize this. You know where the number one place where fornication takes place the first time is in your parents' home. After school, when your parents are not there, you don't do that. You don't invite girlfriends and boyfriends at your home when parents are not there. We use common sense. We don't get into situations where we're going to be overcome. Secondly, we need to look for the way of escape. 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13. Now remember this passage. No temptation has overtaken you except as is common to man. He's talking about sin. Now I know people use it as far as physical problems and so on. He's talking about sin. That's the context. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able. And even that fellow in the bar now, he wasn't tempted above that he was able. He could have left. He could have said, I got to get out of here. I'm going to mess up my marriage. I'm going to destroy myself. I'm going to destroy my reputation. I'm a Christian. I can't stay here. But it didn't. Now watch it. But with a temptation will also make the way of escape. Yeah, I think about King David. You know, King David's on the rooftop. It's hot down the house. He looks over and sees this woman. And boy, the lust begins to swell up in his heart. And boy, he wants this woman. So what does he do? Well, he turns right around. He says, that's an evil thought. I'm going to kick it out of my mind. I'm going to go downstairs. And that's going to be it. What did King David do? He began to lust. He didn't kick it out of his heart. He began to lust, and he allowed this to produce adultery, getting her husband murdered. You think about what it costs David. Now, if you're at work and you're just kind of going back and forth, flirting back and forth, and evil thoughts kind of pop up in your mind, and you're just kind of holding. You think about King David. You know, King David, he lost a lot. You have to think about King David's children. All of them were a mess. All of them. If you're getting too close to somebody at work or at school or at church or one of your friends, and you know it's going to go the wrong route, you get out of that and you run as fast as you possibly can. Because if it goes on, you're going to have to look into the eyes of your children. And your children look up to you like, "You're a Christian, Dad, you don't do that. You're a Christian, Mom, you don't do that." Is it worth facing them and looking into the eyes of your children? There's nothing in the world that would be worse than have to talk to your children and tell them what you've done. Well, there may be some things, though. That may be an overstatement. But it happens all the time, but it ought not happen among the people of God. And it does, unfortunately. Well, we're about done. Allergies are killing my voice, and whether we're done or not, we're going to be done here. Observe the lives of others. You think about the sports figures, movie stars, politicians, and so forth, that people that we look up to, and they're hero worshipers in our mind. Well, you know, use some common sense. Look at their lives. Look at how many die of drug overdoses. Alcoholism. They've got everything. They've got money and fame and anything that the world thinks is really important in life. And they commit suicide. Or they kill themselves in some way with overindulging in alcohol or drugs. Look at the lives of people and what happens to them. Remember their consequences. We've already talked about King David. Let me close this morning with, let's go through this. Let me close this morning with one question. Young people, I want you to answer this. You know, some of us are older, I want us to answer this. Do you believe, do I believe, that God's standard of morality will bring you, me, the most joy in life? Now, if you don't believe that, you're spinning your wheels. You got it. Now, kids, if you got in the back of your mind that your parents are withholding certain things from you because they don't want you to have any fun. No, they're withholding certain things from you because they know the consequences. That fun has consequences, that it's, if it's wrong, that is. No, they're not doing that. If we think that God is withholding pleasures in life, I'm not talking about temporary pleasures. There is pleasure in sin. If it wasn't pleasure in sin, the devil would have nothing to work with. But we're talking about lasting joy, lasting happiness. Do we believe that? I tell you, good people, we believe that. We are a step ahead as far as not getting to some of these problems that destroys our life. Destroys our kids. But if we got in the back of our mind that God's withholding something that really, really that would be the best for me in life. God wants me to be happy, right? How many times, elders, how many times you've had that used on you? God wants my daughter to be happy, so, you know, she can do this, that, something else. Well, that's the lesson for you this morning, and I hope that you'll consider that. Again, if you disagree, shoot me an email and tell me why. Don't just say, "I think you're an idiot," something like that. That doesn't work. But just say, "I think you made the wrong application there." Be happy to discuss it with you. We're in this together. We're trying to go to heaven. We're trying to want the best for all of us, and we just simply thank God for all that he's done for us. That's why I appreciated so much the song service. Pointed us to Jesus. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, you need to come forward this morning. If you're guilty of these sins, if it's private, go to God privately. Ask His forgiveness. We don't need to know about it. But if you need help, well, then we'll pray with you so that you might, and we'll try to get you help too. But if it's public in nature, you need to correct it publicly so that we'll know that you repented of that. And we can leave this meeting house rejoicing. We come, all together we stand while we sing.
Shut up.